Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
Now, lockdown, of course, was a great time of reflection for most of us. And I think reevaluating what's important and which relationships are important to us. Because of restrictions, we have been able to meet up with friends, so it certainly showed how important or maybe not so important these relationships are. Robin Dunbar is Professor of Evolutionary Psychology at the University of Oxford. He's also the author of Friends, Understanding the Power of Our Most Important Relationships. He joins me now. Professor Dunbar, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks for joining us this morning, Professor. Could I start by asking you, what is the average number of friends that a person will have in their lifetime?
Oh, in their lifetime, that's probably a very large number, actually, because friends come and go, as they say. But at any one time, it seems that the limit is really about 150 people. And that includes extended family, I would say, so all your cousins and second cousins as well.
So 150.
Mm.
How many of those, though, would you rate as maybe close friends?
No, I think that's the big issue, really, is that it's, you know, a lot of those people in the outer reaches of that 150 are people you probably only see once a year. The people that really seem to matter to you are the kind of inner core, which typically numbers about five people. Obviously, these are averages. Some people it's a bit smaller, some people it's a bit bigger. But about five people, and these are what we call the shoulders to cry on friends. Mm. Typically, it'll be kind of two close family members, two close friends and an odd one from either side to make up the number. And they're the ones that, you know, if our world falls apart, they're the people that will sort of come riding over the hill as the cavalry to pick us up and put us back on the straight and narrow.
And what inspires us or drives us in picking friendships? Is it to do with what we're familiar with growing up, or is it something that we're seeking out in ourselves, or what drives us?
I think in the end, it's being certain that people will, you know, provide us with that kind of support and help when we need it. And we seem to select our friends on that basis. But the basis that we use to predict whether a friend is going to do that or not is really to do with trust. And trust is built out of kind of spending a lot of time with them and getting to know them, kind of understand how they think. And then that seems to come back down to sharing a lot of things in common, partly culturally, partly not culturally, but, you know, things like having the same hobbies and interests or having the same sense of humour or the same musical taste. And that seems to work because it kind of allows us to talk with them over a pint of beer or something, you know, in an intimate and casual sort of way without sort of long silences while we try and think of something to say. You know, it helps the flow of the interaction, and that's what seems to create the depth of friendship that allows them to provide you with that kind of support that one day you might need. And I think this is the issue. You know, there's no good rushing out and looking for a friend when your world falls apart. It's too late at that point. You've got to set the friendships up well ahead of the time when you actually need them.
Is there a certain age where you acquire your friends and then a certain age where you feel like you have a limit of how many friends you need and that's it and you stop acquiring friends?
It's not so much that, I think. It's much more to do with all the other pressures that act on us. So what tends to, obviously, when you're born, you kind of start with a couple of parents and that's your entire social world. And then you kind of, as you develop and grow, you acquire a bigger and bigger friendship circle as a result of meeting more people and becoming more kind of skilled at handling the social world and kind of making and keeping friendships. And that seems to sort of peak in people in their late teens and early 20s, when they might push their total social circle up to 200 or even 250 people, and then it sort of stabilizes around the early 30s down to about 150. A lot of that is, of course, that's when people tend to have babies. And babies, as everybody knows, is an absolute killer for a social life.
Yeah.
So you kind of concentrate on the ones that really matter to you. And at that point, it's the number of your size of your social circle stabilizes at about 150 until you are into your later 60s, and then it starts to really contract again. And that seems to be because as you get older, as you lose friends for whatever reason, you just don't have the energy and motivation to go out and replace them anymore. And you kind of don't know really where to go to meet new people. So, you know, you end up sort of gradually living in a smaller and smaller social world.
And what has COVID done to friendships? I mean, I think a lot of people have to put a lot more effort into friendships now.
Yes, I mean, it is important to keep friendships up because they do decay quite quickly. I mean, not overnight, but, you know, if you don't see somebody for about 5 or 6 months, then the sort of warmth, if you like, of that friendship just starts to decline, and eventually, if it goes on long enough, they'll kind of move from being a friend to being just an acquaintance, somebody I once knew. I'm not sure that we're in that kind of territory yet. We haven't been in lockdown long enough, really, but it's teetering on the edge, and I think it's probably having the effect of making some people kind of reevaluate some of their friendships because, you know, in the normal course of things, you'd be kind of turning over friendships at a slow but steady pace. It's a much higher rate among sort of teenagers and 20-somethings. We reckon about a third of all friendships change status in the course of a single year in that age group. It, you know, much slower. You still see the same sort of turnover in older folk, but the rate of turnover is much, much slower because the friendships have been chosen because they're particularly congenial, I guess.
Yeah.
But still they turn over. And I think, you know, things like lockdown just give you pause to think, well, you know, do I really put Jim above Peter or something like that, you know, and or even somebody you've just met in the street first time that lived next door and suddenly you just actually they're rather good fun to be with.
And is there scientific proof that friendships benefit us, like physically and emotionally, neurologically even?
Oh, yes. I think the big shocker of the last decade and a half, no more than that really, has been the absolute torrent of medical studies showing that the single factor that best predicts your psychological health and well-being, your physical health and well-being, even how long you live, is the number and quality of close friendships you have. And all the things that your friendly neighborhood GP worries about on your behalf, like, you know, how overweight are you, how much exercise do you have, how much alcohol do you drink, what's the quality of the air where you breathe, and all these kinds of things, they come in a sort of second, a long way behind just the number and quality of friendships that you have. So, you know, maintaining friendships not only keeps you buoyed up and contented with life and actually more trusting of the people you live among as well, but also has these direct effects on your physical health and well-being.
Wow, it's very interesting. We'll have to leave it there, though, I'm afraid, for this morning. Professor Robin Dunbar, thank you very much for coming on with us today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. That's Professor Robin Dunbar there. He's an evolutionary psychology professor at the University of Oxford. That book is called Friends, Understanding the Power of Our Most Important Relationships. We're back after this.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Subaru dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.